ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, it's Sam Hawley from ABC News Daily, the podcast that brings you one big story affecting your world each weekday in just 15 minutes.
I think there are a lot of people who will jump to One Nation because they've called time on the system. And what that means is they're not any longer listening to it. And when that happens, it doesn't actually matter what Labor has to say, and it doesn't actually matter what the Coalition has to say.
Join me for ABC News Daily. Find us on ABC Listen.
A push for further gambling reform has taken centre stage at day two of the Labor Party's national conference, and it seems the delegates' punt has paid off. But it's negotiations on local government funding that could cause a stoush on the conference floor. And developments outside the conference walls are stealing some of the spotlight, with the US administration slapping a new 12.5% tariff on Australia. Trade Minister Don Farrell has labelled the move completely unjustified, while the Deputy Prime Minister Richard Marles says the government is lobbying very forcefully against the tariffs. Welcome to Politics Now. Hi, I'm Patricia Karvelas.
And I'm Claire Armstrong.
Claire, we are here at the Labor Party National Conference in Adelaide, day two of the three-day conference. And just give me a sense of day two, the vibes, the feeling, the debates, hot takes.
Well, I know we'll get to this in more detail, but I've just received a text then saying that the gambling amendment has passed as per what we were expecting. So that's sort of the mood at the moment. I think it's a very orderly procession of amendments that have been agreed before they've got to the conference floor, apart from one instance, which has long been a conscience vote, voluntary assisted dying, where there was a speaker for and against. There have only been speakers for every amendment to the platform so far in the last day and a half. And day two, I think everyone's just really in their own rhythm.
Yeah, it's quite a rhythm. All right, we're going to come back to that because, you know, that was a bit of a pointy moment. Of course, it passed. This is voluntary assisted dying changes, but I think significant for the Labor Party and significant loss for the right, traditionally, of the Labor Party that used to fight on these things. But let's talk about tariffs first. We knew it was coming. Now we know what it is. The US administration announcing a 12.5% tariff that will be placed on Australian exports to the United States. It's going to come into force at 2:01 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time today, same time as the temporary 10% tariff will lapse. Lots of countries are affected by this, but it's all in relation to slavery charges against us, that there is sort of slavery in our labour system. Which is not to say that we don't have any problems, but it is pretty extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, this modern forced labour issue is a genuine one across the supply chains around the world, yeah. But not one that Australia has done nothing about. Actually, even quite recently, the government was updating its response on this issue. Obviously, a very important one, but for all intents and purposes, a lot of the commentary around the decision by US President Trump to use this as an excuse to levy these tariffs is being seen as he's found a way through being able to do something that his own court system had prevented him. And 12.5% is obviously, Australia would prefer to have no tariffs, but it is only 2.5% more than what we were on at that 10% base rate. I think what's tricky for the government out of this is that not all countries were hit with this 12.5%. The UK, for example, had negotiated and is remaining on their 10% baseline level. So I think that does sort of set a bit of a test for the government now when we can no longer claim to be the lowest tariff rate of anyone in the world.
No, but it seems, and just help me out here, when we were first slapped with tariffs, and it was pre the last federal election, there was a lot of kind of angst, even hysteria, really, about, you know, how it will impact us, what will the Prime Minister do. Has that some of that pressure gone? I just don't feel like the government feels like they're under the same level of pressure on this.
Well, yeah, I think that it definitely is a different feeling this time, and that's because going back now a bit over 12 months to when those Liberation Day tariffs first came into effect or announced, Australia's two-way trade with America has actually improved on the Australian side. We're exporting more. The Americans are buying more of our goods. And that is, of course, somewhat because the Americans' consumers are facing a whole different range of tariffs on the things they buy. And given Australian products have some of the lowest tariffs, even though we'd prefer to have none, we haven't actually seen that economic impact. And I think that's really taken the heat out of it for the government.
All right, let's talk about the Labor conference again. We touched on the gambling reform. You brought us the sort of this amendment passing. So what does it change? What does it compel or put pressure on the Albanese government to do?
Yeah, well, I mean, probably the bigger picture here is that the Labor Party's soon-to-be platform, currently draft platform, does and doesn't put pressure on the government. It's not nothing. It's important and for the way that the Labor Party operates and how it prides itself on being consultative and democratic. You often see issues that materialise in that platform eventually having an impact at a government level or at a federal parliamentary level for the party. So even though we say, you know, this thing has passed and it's going to have an impact on the government, you can't say immediately. But on gambling, I think it's particularly relevant because the government has this legislation currently in train. So already leading up to the conference in the negotiations to actually do that draft, there had been the inclusion of looking at inducements, which are things like bonus bets, you know, incentives essentially to get people to return to gambling. That was not something that was addressed in the legislation that's still before the parliament. What's happened today is that that amendment's been strengthened even further to look at toughening up and making stronger, beefing up, if you will, I guess, national regulation of gambling. Now, the You Win Some, You Lose More report by the late Labor MP Peter Murphy called for the creation of a national regulator. The government decided not to go down that path for some, you know, legitimate reasons. It's currently done state by state. It's a complex issue. But to have now the national platform saying that the priority here is strengthening national regulation, I think will put more pressure on the government, not just in the next 3 years, but with this legislation in the next few weeks to add things.
Yeah, I think that's right. Look, the other thing that I think is really interesting is the voluntary assisted dying changes they've agreed to. You mentioned there was a speaker for and against, and that did make it kind of interesting, didn't it? Because you had, for instance, Katie Gallagher, who is a very senior member of the left and very senior minister in the government, speaking in favour of one particular change, which is telehealth being essentially allowed in terms of consultation with doctors in relation to voluntary assisted dying. That is a very controversial idea. But actually, the left really pushed for this. The right didn't have the numbers. They made the decision not to call for a vote on the floor because they were going to lose it. But also, they didn't want the optics of losing it. But we had high-profile ministers disagree with each other. It's a conscience vote, but it's the first time I've seen it, like at this conference, Katie Gallagher saying she was in for it. And Michelle Rowland, the Attorney General, raising her concerns about it. That was kind of interesting, and it is consequential.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a long-running conscience vote issue for the Labor Party, obviously very personally held views. And it's interesting that they've gone through this process of having legislated now at every state and the federal parliamentary parties in support of voluntary assisted dying in its totality and majority. But nuances like whether you should have to go and have these conversations and consultations if you're considering voluntary assisted dying in person versus in telehealth, I think do hark back to that core kind of opposition that has long existed within the right faction generally, but also across the party. And And to see two ministers on, at least sort of leaning toward different sides of that, there wasn't exactly, you know, fisticuffs or anything like that on the conference floor. It goes to show that there are strongly held views, and that even though this is now sitting in the platform, carried on the voices, as you say, because the left do have the majority out of, just slightly out of the 400 delegates, I believe they have 202 in the left faction, that I think will not be something that automatically travels through to federal policy. It will still be debated and probably kept on conscience.
Yeah, definitely kept on conscience. Interesting to see the speed at which it gets advanced. I mean, senior left-wing minister Mark Butler, who was in favour of it, is in favour of it, would have to advance it. So would the Attorney General, Michelle Rowland, because there are sort of, I think, implications in her portfolio as well. So the speed at which the Albanese government, the cabinet, responds to some of these ideas will be interesting, because this is a very, very passionate issue inside the party, and it'll just be interesting to see the kind of scope of that. My understanding, actually, on this one, which I think is really interesting, is that the Prime Minister was not a fan of this, did not really want this to come up. So in some ways, his own faction has kind of put their foot down a little, like, no, we still think it's important. His reluctance is also because he likes to avoid some of these culture war issues. And I think that's the really interesting thing about this Prime Minister. He likes to govern from the centre. He likes to avoid the prickly culture issues which will put Labor into the light, or can be depicted in a way that he thinks might be divisive in the public.
Absolutely. One of my main takeaways so far in this conference has been that Labor, less and less the party of culture wars, and I mean that in the original sense, not the kind of morphed right-wing sense, but more and more about administration. And you look at a lot of the solves in terms of the negotiated compromised amendments, whether it's AI, it's, well, here's a task force to consult, or gambling, here's regulation. They're administrative solutions to, you know, still ideologically held positions, but they're not the all-out, you know, values-based ideological brawls that you traditionally have seen, you know, in conferences past.
Yeah, that's right. I want to talk about another one that I know you've been watching closely. It's really interesting. It's about regional funding, local councils. Stay with us, people. Politics now.
We're going to make this sexy.
Because it is a little sexy.
It is.
Explain it to me.
So all of the local government groups, which represent all of the councils in Australia, actually have signed on to getting all these guys to agree, I imagine, is near impossible, calling on the Commonwealth government to lift untied funding for local governments to 1% of Commonwealth revenue, which is about a doubling. It costs about $3.5 billion a year for the government to do this. Now, the councils are asking for it, are prepared to do that in a staged effect, but that's the end goal. What they are arguing is that councils, local governments, are increasingly in financial strain, particularly in the regions, and are picking up the tabs for things that are traditionally done by other levels of government. If you're a local council in a remote part of Australia and the GP leaves town, you as the council are using funds to help recruit, maybe to subsidise the accommodation and to support your town getting another GP. Or if the childcare centre is closing or doesn't exist, you might be running that as the council, or the aged care facility. So there are these councils around the country that are doing pretty basic service provision, and they want untied funding to be able to generate income, to build assets and be able to get themselves on a better financial footing. Now, where that all becomes a bit interesting is these are the kinds of everyday grievances, the haves and the have-nots, if you will, of what people expect when they live in a country like Australia, that is driving a lot of voters into the arms of parties like One Nation. We had Darcy Byrne, who's the mayor of the Inner West in Sydney and also head of the New South Wales Local Government Association.
And also tipped to be perhaps the next member of GrainLer.
Likely to be the next member for GrainLer.
Which is, of course, the Prime Minister's Prime seat. Minister's He's not seat. Leaving yet.
He made that connection. He said it goes to the heart of the disaffection that is spreading in communities. They are not getting the services that they think that their taxes should deliver for them. And it's worth noting, in a lot of states, mayors or councils are generally independent. They may be affiliated with a political party, but they run on independence. And I had a few people at this conference say to me, if you were One Nation, you'd be going round to some of these cash-strapped councils who are technically affiliated maybe to the Coalition or to Labor and saying, well, we'll fight for you on this funding issue. And all of a sudden, you might find these political apparatuses in these local communities are actually starting to align themselves with One Nation. And that's even harder to unravel than just a swing voter.
Yeah, now that is fascinating. Hey, just a couple of other moments of this conference. One that will happen tomorrow. You'll be here. I'll actually be gone by then, but you're going to let me know because I'll be like texting you a lot. Is the Israel-Gaza fight. Now, that could get quite willing.
Yeah.
Could.
It could.
Could.
It would end up being the exception for the rule. Just, you know, I should have mentioned on the local government thing, part of the reason we think that may end up being a big fight is because it's sort of not contentious enough to need to be as managed as something like Israel and Palestine. The draft platform already adds quite a bit of detail around positions on quite specific things in terms of the Israeli settlements into parts of Palestine. It even calls out the laws recently passed in the Knesset in regards to being able to give the death penalty in some cases to Palestinians for terror offences, I believe. So it's already quite detailed. There has been some grumbling about whether it goes far enough in condemning and placing blame on Hamas. The Israeli ambassador, the Israeli embassy already came out and criticised that draft. That's kind of had the reverse effect, I think, on a lot of delegates here who are a bit annoyed that a foreign entity like that has come and tried to have a say or have commented on the internal processes of a political party in terms of policy development. So there is definitely still talks going on about whether to put more in about Hamas, whether to go further or more specific on some of the issues that Labor delegates have with the Israeli government and its treatment, particularly of Palestinians. But it could all end up being a bit of a fizzer. There might be a tinkering here and there, but I don't think we're going to see a brawl once again on the floor. And
well, it would be unusual to see a brawl, right?
It would be pretty unusual. Yeah. Everyone talks, you know, about how this conference is very controlled and managed, but we were also talking about that at 2023, and it wasn't, you know, there were a few issues in 2018, but it's not really like quite recently there were all these big fights in the history of this conference.
Yeah, I think that's very correct. Just finally, a bit of diplomatic stoush. The Chinese diplomats left the Labor conference after requesting Taiwan representation was rejected. They complained to the ALP National Secretary, Paul Erickson, who made it clear the representatives were entitled to observe.
Yes, and I just saw Will Glasgow from the Australian walking past. He broke this story coincidentally because, as he reported, the Chinese delegates actually came up to him and asked him what they should do first before they went to Ericsson. But yes, essentially it was reported just before the conference. So I don't know how the PRC delegates representatives missed this, but there were observers here. There are a lot of diplomatic observers that come and watch this process. It's as part of Labor's shtick. They open this thing up to everybody.
Yeah, they do.
And obviously the PRC representatives were told that the Taiwanese representatives had every right to be here and they weren't going to be asked to leave. And as I understand it, they left. I don't know if you can call it stormed out, but they definitely made a point of leaving the conference yesterday and have now reportedly also just left Adelaide. So they are no longer in the city.
Okay, out of Adelaide. All right. What's been your favourite moment of this conference?
There's a few. I put a funny little one in our ABC online blog yesterday. There was a bingo card circulating put out by one of the Labor Aligned podcasts for the left faction and the right faction. And for me, you know, it's quite funny. Lots of classics. I have actually ticked a few off, particularly my favorite, which is when only one person in the entire crowd yells out shame.
Yeah.
In response to a speaker. But I do love the idea that there is a level of predictability to these things that even, you know, the party machine itself is willing to laugh at and acknowledge. That, and there have been some incredible social media content filmed by politicians in terms of just how cringy and funny it is. Walking here, I bumped into Murray Watt, a senior minister, doorstopping fellow delegates and asking them questions about whether they recognised a quote as being from Pauline Hanson or Tanya Plibersek, I think it was. So, you know, bit of fun.
Right, yeah.
What about yours?
Well, my favourite has been... It's less quirky, or it's more just what an iron grip the Prime Minister has had over the democracy, the process here. Now, I've spoken to people who say their overwhelming observation, though, is that it's not that the democracy isn't happening, it's just being had differently because they don't want to. And one person said to me, which I thought was a perfect way of describing it, really, like, very honest, we don't want to air our dirty laundry to you. It doesn't mean we don't have dirty laundry, yeah. Right? Now, as a journalist, I'm like bored by that. I like to look at the laundry, sort it in colours, show you how dirty it is, I'm really labouring this, but I want to make my point, put it in the washing machine, then the dryer. I want you to see it all, right? But they're like, we're having it. You think we haven't had a lot of this, but it's a negotiation. And I think only a dominant left-wing figure like this who knows the party's inside out, not a newcomer. I think the fact that Albanese has been in politics for so long is part of why he has almost this gift of understanding how to manage the Labor movement. And I've been around a really long time. I've watched a lot of Labor shenanigans in many, many incarnations, in very many different governments and oppositions. And I haven't quite seen anything like this. And I think in the future, Claire, I'm talking now 10, 20 years, I mean real future, we will look back at this era as a particular sweet spot for Labor's ability to project power, project stability, project the sort of centre mainstream ground in a way that I know we talk about all the time, don't get me wrong, but I don't feel like we appreciate the significance of it.
Yeah, that's fascinating. It shouldn't be understated. So what you're saying is the insurgent is in the house.
Kind of. The insurgent is the boss of the house and has sort of the ability to convince people that it should be thus, that it's okay to play this way.
He's brought people with him.
Yeah.
Kicking and screaming, some of them.
Yeah, but on the proviso that this will guarantee them longer versions of power.
Yeah.
If they play this way. Now, that's still to be seen, but I think it's really interesting. I don't know.
I completely agree. That's actually the longer takeaway from this conference, for
and
sure.
And I will give them one more piece of credit, the Australian Labor Party, because they deserve it. Some of the things we kind of laugh about, or I do, like the, you know, everyone being invited and the delegates and the observers and the business people and all of that. I think having a big political party bring you in that way, even if it's stage managed and they're sort of putting on a show for you, come on, they are, is useful. And I think it's, you know, the Greens, they always make this point. I think they're right to make the point that the Greens don't openly show us their debates. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think some of that is true.
Yes, it is a bit one of its kind, even beyond Australian shores, but certainly within them. And maybe we take it for granted. We spend so long accepting that all of this stuff is we should have access to. We end up only griping about the little bit at the end that we don't.
Yeah, that's right. And we should complain because that's what we do. Claire?
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out with me.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for Politics Now today. David Spears will be back in your feed tomorrow for Insiders on Background. He's speaking to outgoing Labor President Wayne Swan. And if you have a question for Fran and I, send them to thepartyroom@abc.net.au. See you, Claire.
See ya.